it's not that big a deal now, but let me tell you where it can end up. And they're like, they don't even get it. You know, they don't even see how that can possibly be.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, you can see me in the camera right now. I have my coat back on. What is the deal? It's supposed to snow today, like 2 to 3 inches here in northern Indiana. Does that not just seem wrong?
Well, it's supposed to snow here, too. And I'm like,
really?
Snow here in April? What's up with this?
Even my kids who love snow are like, I want to die. So, oh, man.
Well, you can get out the sleds one more time. How about that?
No, we're not getting out the sled. We've already brought out the summer junk. I mean, the winter junk has now just been put away. So, you know, the sleds have been thrown back in the shed. And now I see like a little tricycle sitting on the basketball court and a skateboard being rained on. And, you know, all the basketballs are out there and scattered out about the yard. So we've moved on. We've moved on.
Did you cut the grass before the snow?
Yes, we did cut the grass. You've probably cut it a couple times, haven't you?
No, my son is supposed to get out there today and do it before it rains.
Oh, yeah.
And then snows.
Yeah, so yeah.
Hopefully it'll get done today.
Yeah, well, we've cut it once, but I know that maybe down south people cut it maybe more. But the good news is the cow threw up just a little while ago.
Okay.
And I'm like, no! I mean, we are just now, I mean, in the throes, not in the throes up, the throes of traveling. We just got back from South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Maggie and I drove there. Scott, I am like, it was the fastest road I've ever been on. I left Sioux Falls, South Dakota at 7 o'clock Indiana time. And I arrived at home for dinner at 5 o'clock. That's stopping for gas and lunch, and that was 711 miles.
Whoa, that's a
I mean,
long
that
drive.
Is like that. It was just so amazingly fast. I just still feel in shock how quick it was. I mean, the speed limit on South Dakota is 80 and 70 across the rest of the Minnesota. But man, the traffic
you were
was
doing 95.
Fast. I did not do 95. I did a little faster than 70, but everybody else was passing me. So it was just fast, but it was a great weekend at the Mache homeschool conference. In fact, we're going to be back out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota in 3 weeks. So we have to drive back out there for the South Dakota homeschool convention. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, that was the Minnesota one, wasn't it?
That's the Minnesota one. It was, yeah, that little confusing there. But this week, Debbie and I are flying down to Austin, Texas. And next week, Cal and I are flying to Anchorage, Alaska. And so, did I mention Cal threw up this morning?
That's not good.
So we just don't want that. And then McKenna, which is Sam's wife, said, I guess last night, and said, hey, sorry, everybody, just a little heads up that we probably exposed you to the stomach bug that everybody has. And it's gone through my family, and I'm like, oh, great.
You know, I thought you could only get sick with COVID. There's
that's what
still.
I thought. That's what I thought. So if I'm not feeling good at the airport, they'll say, well, you might have COVID, and then I'll throw up on them. And I'm like, no, I don't. So it was awesome, actually.
Can
in
you
South
get
Dakota.
That on video at least? Make sure.
I will try. I will try. Excuse me, I got to get out of my phone. No, I don't.
That would be huge.
But don't worry, you got a mask on.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but it was nice. It was it was a great time. About 800 people, hardly a mask in sight, and it just felt good. It felt good to see their smiles and shake their hands. By the way, Scott, Tim Watkins from Minnesota, he says he loves you.
All right.
No, I think that's in a one guy said that to me. He was an ex-Hutterite, which if you don't know what a Hutterite, you'll have to look that up. It's kind of like an Amish who wears brightly colored clothing. But he goes, I love you, man. He goes, in a good way. And I'm like, thanks for clarifying. And or yeah.
So, like, right back at you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tim Watkins loves you, Scott, awesome. In a good way. So you know, and he was like, he's like, Todd, I have one request. Can you do this could you do the show daily? And I'm like, no, no. And then he goes on and tells us how much he loves being a part of it and that he feels encouraged. And then he says, the only thing that would make it better. And I'm like, no, we're not doing it daily. We can't, you know, P.T. Barnum always said, always leave them wanting more. So. That's the way it goes.
I pretty much thought we were always leaving them wanting less.
That is true.
But hey, good to know.
That's good to know. So anyway, hey, everybody, it's good to thanks for being on the team, all of you. Exactly. Because, you know, it is not easy being on Team Dad, Team Family Man. I know, like, when I got home, you know, last week when we talked, Scott, I mentioned that, you know, teenagers were... I was up to my eyeballs and kind of teen issues. And, you know, this is just between me and everybody else listening. But maybe I shouldn't even say it because I don't want it to leak back. But, you know, I'll just say this, that dads and moms should have access to their kids' devices. You know, so you should be able to read the emails that they're sending back and forth. And, you know, it's good accountability. I mean, my wife can get on my phone. There's no password on mine. You know, she can check my emails, she can check my text, she can do whatever she wants. And that's good. It keeps us, you know, bad things happen in secrecy. So our kids shouldn't have that either. Well, I'm the type who's like, you know, who wants to look once, but then I never want to look again because it still feels sometimes a little personal, especially if there's boy and girl stuff going on or girl and boy stuff. But my wife might be just a little in over her head, you know, and she's like, oh, it's terrible. You know, we're going to lose them. And I'm like, honey, we're not losing anybody. We have kids who want to please us and they want to please God. You know, it's part of growing up. And I think it's our job as husbands to remind our wives of those truths and to lead in the charge. And so, you know, so I get home and I'm like, blah, you know, and I had to do a lot of husbanding stuff and encourage my wife and love my wife. And so, and to say, stop doing that, you know, but again, that's the dad's job. In fact, I was talking to one dad over the weekend and he was like saying, he goes, Todd, but what do? You know, you kind of say that, but my wife, like, there was a workshop she wanted to go to, and it was kind of like how to battle the perfectionism in you. And the husband said, why don't you go to the one? Because she couldn't go to that one. And the husband said, why don't you go to the one you want to go? And I'll go to the one that you wanted to go to about the perfectionism, and then I can share it with you. And he said, she just kind of got in his face and said, I don't want to hear that from you, you know? And so he said to me, so what do you do, Todd? You know, what do you do when your wife knows that that's an issue, but she don't want to hear it from you? And I said, you know, maybe she needs to hear it from you anyway. You know, not in a Holy Spirit kind of thing where, you know, like, oh, I saw you eat a Twinkie. You're not supposed to be eating Twinkies. Not that kind of thing. But maybe that thing that where we remind our wives, as we talk so many times, just about truth, you know, when we say, hey, honey, you know, the truth is our kids love us. Our kids love God, you know, so maybe they're going whatever direction and they're, you know, talking a little different than they normally do to an opposite sex, but that's how God made them, you know, because they're supposed to be attracted to the opposite sex. You know, they're supposed to get married one day, and it doesn't just happen, you know, at the age that we would like it to happen. And, you know, there are other parents who've done these things and other people who are listening right now who we've all done this. You know, Scott, you did it. I did it. Your wife did it. My wife did it. And I don't know why we think that it's going to be any different for our kids. But I think it's our job as the dads and the husbands to remind our spouses of that truth, you know. And I wouldn't do it right in the midst of things. I would do it kind of in one of those non-confrontational times. And,
I was going to say, I pretty much shrink back when my wife says, I don't want to hear it from you. I'm like, okay, honey. And then I'll go pray for her a little bit.
You know, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing, too. But sometimes we need to man up. Like John Wayne said, face your fears and saddle up anyway. Or be afraid and saddle up anyway. Anyway. Speaking of fears, Scott, though. Well,
back up for just
go
a
ahead,
second.
Go ahead.
Go to fears.
Okay.
With the kids.
Yes.
How do you respond to them when they're caught in something like you've just dealt with, you know? Do you go towards the, you should never do that, don't you dare do that anymore, God's watching you, or I'm leading you with my answer here. Something I wanted to say, how I would do it.
No, go ahead.
I find myself getting a lot more merciful than maybe I should be, or maybe than my wife would like me to be at times like that, because it's like, you know, that I've rarely seen it go well in my own life. And in other people's lives, when people dump shame on them for having sinned, like the mercy seems to make a whole lot bigger difference, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. And that's why I think, you know, that we need to remind them and our wife that it's normal. It is normal sin. I mean, it is sin still the same. But I don't think it's as simple as saying, if you ever do that again, you know, we're going to throw everything you have away. Even though that may be part of the, you know, whatever the punishment or the consequence. I have no problem with that. But at the same time, I never want my kids to feel like they're broken, or that they're experiencing something that no one else has ever experienced. I mean,
that's part of my thing with it is my kids have done stuff at times where. And I'm like, look,
all kids have done stuff at times.
Well, and they're no different than me. Like I've done stuff like that, you know, when I was your age and whatever, you know, like, I mean, I think it's really important for them to hear that from us. Like, oh,
I agree.
Wait, Dad did this? Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I agree. I totally get it. And, you know, I'll say to my kids afterwards, I just love you so much, because my kids at, you know, the ones we're dealing with right now, these were not areas where it felt super sinful, you know, like some areas where, you know, where the kid looks at you and you go, you've been somewhere where you're not supposed to be. And, you know, that feels super, 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 they know it's bad. You know, it's bad. And man, that's a great time to comfort and say, hey, I know you got caught into something you didn't want to go, 'cause I know your heart. But we love you so much. We're going to try to help you not get there again, you know? But even in, you know, even in the areas that maybe don't feel as deep, because they're like, well, I don't, you know, it's not that big a deal. And I'm like, it's not that big a deal now, but let me tell you where it can end up. And they're like, they don't even get it. You know, they don't even see how that can possibly be. You know, even, you know, one of the workshops I did was called Taming the Techno Beast. We have a little booklet on that. And dads, this is just all you dads who might play video games. You know, I talked to a wife who said, my husband, he was addicted to all those and he stopped for a while, but now he's getting back into them. And she was at a loss. She didn't know what to do. And husbands, don't put your wife in that predicament, because it is really, 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 really hard. Because if she says something, which she has, he just defends it. No, that's not true. No, that's not happening. But, you know, like for my kids, I'm like, you know, I always say, you're going to end up in the basement. You know, you're going to end up in our basement playing video games the rest of your life. And they're like, no, we're not, Dad. So we just talk about it like it's a normal thing. And even the consequences or the rules we're putting up are normal. And, you know, and it does get harder when there's a lot of emotion in it. You're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I know it doesn't seem fair right now, but we just love you so much. So this is what we're going to try. We can talk about it, you know, if it doesn't seem fair to you, but this is what we're going to try for right now. So again, yeah, Scott, I think grace is the word, but not just an ignoring grace.
Right.
And I know you, Scott, you're kind of like me. where we just like to assume that everybody's going to be happy, you know, keep your nose clean. You're not going to do anything that I wouldn't want you to. You're not going to sneak out on the computer and communicate with someone or talk. But really, I don't think we can do that. Or it gets us into a bad place where then it becomes a big deal.
You know, a really big deal. You can tell when they're not getting it, if they're denying it, if, oh no, that's no big deal or whatever, like, okay, then it might need a little less of the grace and a little more of the, the stick, spear. I suppose, not literally,
but even that, I think that's a sign that not that their hearts are hardened, but they don't, that their hearts are innocent, you know, that they don't see the, they don't feel the weight of it because they have, you know, because they haven't had many experiences.
Right.
And so I just think, you know, we guide them. We don't treat them like they have the plague. And I think that's, again, where dads come in, because sometimes, you know, our wives are so hurt by that. Like, why would they do that? Because, you know, we've hurt them and they go, why did he do that? Mm-hmm. And they might tend to pull away. I try to restore right away, you know, and so if we have one of those competitions, then I work real hard at making sure that they know that the relationship is intact and as good or better than ever. You know, so we'll play together or we'll talk together or just be normal together. And I think that somehow feels good, you know, and I smile at them because that makes you feel like mom and dad think I'm okay. So
good stuff,
anyway,
man.
Hey, talking about fear, Scott, tomorrow's a big day for you. You want to tell us what's happening?
No. I'm drinking my meals today and it's just clear liquids because I have to have the big C tomorrow.
The big C. Colonoscopy.
I guess, Scott, it's not the really big C, but it's to make sure I don't have the big C.
That's right. Well, you know, you're going to sleep great. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
But you know, the very first time I was speaking in, Phoenix, Arizona, and they had a sign language interpreter and I says about colonoscopy, the sign language for colonoscopy is exactly what you'd think it would be. And I saw it and I'm like, yep, that's it right there. So you start like the good stuff, like a little bit later today, right?
Yeah, like 6 o'clock, I think. So you can pray for me. they won't get this.
You'll be
tomorrow.
Fine. You'll be fine.
Yes.
Yeah. So I really wanted Scott to take his mic, affordable mic there. So we get I love you.
Yeah, that's
afterwards. But I'll tell you what's the shocking thing is how quickly. And anybody's, you know, been put under, you're like talking to them, you know, and they're setting you up, you know, you're laying there and trying not to think about how exposed you. I thought about writing a message on my, you know, self, like this side up, you know, yes, or whatever.
I was like, I don't want a smiley face.
Yes, you should.
Pointing the direction. I don't know.
But when you're sitting there and, you know, I can remember just chit chatting, then they'll say, okay, you're going to feel maybe just a little bit of cool fluid. And I said, well, how long will it take? And she's like, oh, just a few seconds. And then I wake up. You know, it's so amazing. It's just really.
Wow.
So, well, we'll be praying for you because I know it's still, I know the first time I went, I was super anxious. And I think my blood pressure was like 6,000 over whatever. And she's like, are you a little uptight? And I said, oh yeah, I feel like I'm going to explode. But the last one, you get a couple under your belt, boo, and you're good.
Couple, I'm not doing this again. I mean, I have to do this more than once in my life.
I don't know. Well, hopefully you don't have to do it many times, but I had to do it within 3 years because I had a couple polyps. Ugh. But this last time I didn't, so I'm gonna go back for, you know, I don't have to go back for a while. It's all part of aging, Scott.
Yeah, I know. I keep having those little glimpses into my future, and I'm like, it's really going to be a challenge to, like, I already have a challenge trying to be a positive, upbeat, happy kind of guy. I think I might just be one of those grumpy old men. It's like, I didn't die at least, you know.
How are you, Mr. Moore? Well, at least I didn't die.
I'll be like, my buddy died in his sleep last night. I wish I was so lucky.
That's right.
That's going to be me when I'm...
And that's why Tim Watkins loves you, Scott.
Like maybe tonight will be the night my sleep apnea gets me, you know?
That's true.
My wife keeps wanting me to go get a sleep study and, you know, get a CPAP or whatever. And I'm like, why? Yeah. That's the best way to go. If I don't want to stay alive if I'm going to die in my sleep. Just let me go.
There you go.
She does not like, you know, that.
A day without Scott Moore is like a day without sunshine.
Yes. I'm here to remind you how good your life is.
There you go. It's exciting around here because, you know, Ike and Carolyn, who live above me in the barn, which I haven't even been up there in months because I'm afraid to go up there. They bought the house across the street, and remember, it was abandoned for the last, I don't know how many years, almost the whole time we've lived here. So over 20, and had dirt floors like 2 years ago. And the guy who owned it, he put in a concrete floor, but they bought it super cheap. And right now they're finishing out the drywall. So they're paying to have it finished. They hung it all. So Abe and I were just over there just a little while ago looking at it, and it looks awesome. It's going to be an amazing thing. I'll tell you, Scott, you know, you haven't experienced this yet, but you're going to. When your kids like become adults and they do things and they work on projects, and it's just amazing. Ben, right next door, is turning his basement, and his home's over 100 years old. It's older than mine, I think, and mine's 110. He's got a little basement, but he's carving out an area that he can put like a theater room in. So, I mean, he's always loved technology. He's always liked, you know, loud. And so he carved out this space. It's not very big, but he's drywalled it, put in a plywood floor and canned lights. And he's going to put little, you know, LED lights around the edges. And he bought a big screen
seating and stuff.
I think they're just doing kind of like a couch, but they're worried about trying to get a couch down the stairs because it's not very wide. But he's super excited. I think he used some of his, whatever, not incentive. What's it called? Money. The money they just gave us.
Stimulus money.
I think he's using some of that.
That is
too.
A good use for it.
It is. Scott, you know that, I mean, and maybe he said this, if I had still had all my kids at home, they would have given me $14,000.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we have some friends who have 12 kids. They got, I think they got $14,000 or something. I forget what
it
was.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's just amazing. Yep. So anyway, so they're working on that, and they're excited about that. And we'll probably have some kind of big, you know, reveal party one of these days. But I should take some pictures and show you guys because they've done both of them have done a super good job. But what the cool thing is like, I didn't really have to do very much. I mean, I worked some over at Ike's, but on Ben's, I didn't do anything. And just he and his brothers have done it together, and it's super, super cool. So anyway.
Yeah, I was wondering where the rest of the brothers were when I was in Columbus helping move. We moved most of my daughter's stuff into her fiance's apartment where they're going to live after they get married. And they got all this stuff from IKEA. So they were like building furniture, and Jen and I are helping them build this stuff. And I'm sitting there like putting stuff together, not down on my hands and knees. And I'm like, okay, he's got like six brothers or something. And I'm like, where are all these guys? All he had was his roommate there helping us out. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
it's just me and Jen and Abby and William and Alberto. And that was it. I'm like, where's everybody else helping build this? Cause William's back there sweating it out, trying to put his bed together. And I'm putting their dining room table together with Alberto, and my wife's doing something else. I'm like, come on, where are all these guys?
Exactly. And you know, really, as a future son-in-law, you should let him feel your shame periodically. I mean, I feel like it's kind of our job to look at them with disgust, you know, and just so they, I mean, I think you can stop doing that like in 15 years, you know, once he's been around for that long, but just let him always know that she could have chosen someone better, but she didn't, you know, so, because I think that's just part of it. I mean, I just, you know, I can remember my father-in-law's first interaction, went out first, but one of those first interactions where I'd come in, you know, and he'd be reading his newspaper, and he had it like, he was in the Lazy Boy, feet propped up, and he's got the newspaper and he just would like dip the paper down and go, "Hello, Todd," and then put it right back. Like, "Would you like me to leave, sir?" So yes. It's all good. It's all good.
All right.
Well, hey, we're about out of time. Scott, we'll be praying for your time tomorrow. I don't have to do, you know, I was kind of looking forward. I wouldn't have to be in a rush yesterday because co-op's over. I didn't realize that. So no more gym time. Hey, Dad, I should alert you to the fact that Mother's Day is in about, you know, 18 days. So be thinking. You don't have to buy anything yet. But I was thinking yesterday that I need to start thinking what I could do for not my mother, because my wife will take care of that, but for my wife, to let her know how much I appreciate her being the mother of my children. So and how about we pray, Scott? I'm gonna just pray for your day tomorrow. I know as the guys are listening, it'll be over, so we'll have to talk about it next week. So
all right,
let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this team that you've assembled. Not just Scott and I, but all the other dads, like Tim and Jeremy and all the other dads, Michael. And I just thank you for having us go through the same kinds of things and that we're all normal. But I just pray that we would rely on you, that we would come to our wives' rescue when they need us to, and that we would be firm in the truth when we need to be, but loving. And we would love our children when they stumble into areas they shouldn't. And I know some dads are listening whose kids have stumbled into some huge areas. I just pray you would give them the strength to love no matter what. And I pray for Scott tomorrow as he has his procedure. I pray that it all turn out great and that he'd be able to rest when it's over. And that we thank you for opportunities like this and medical things that we're able to go to prevent so much. And I just pray it all turn out great. And we just thank you for how much you love us. And we thank you for the privilege of being the dad. And we pray all this in your name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Hey, have a great weekend, Dad. I hope it doesn't snow on you. But if it does, make the best of it, because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. Let's get down upon our knees and cry, oh God, forgive us, please. The end is near.
Did I tell you, I'll cut this out probably, but did I tell you the joke I used with him? He was playing his piano while we were there. He has a full-size keyboard. He's really good at piano. Uh-huh. And he was practicing a few songs he had to play for church the next day. Uh-huh. And this is like, he's been, you know, building furniture and stuff. And he's, you know, athletic guy. He's strong. He's smart. He's handsome. He can sing, he can dance, he can act, he can
after play all piano. This is France.
Like, and I'm like, you know, it's really not fair, William. I mean, you can sing, you can dance, you can act, you're really smart, you can probably argue before the Supreme Court someday, and you're, you know, all this stuff you can do, you're in great shape, and you know, it's just not fair. I mean, we can't all be the world's greatest lover.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. No, you don't need to cut that out. That was good.
It kind of fell flat.
Maybe he can tell good jokes too.
Yeah.
But you could say, but you couldn't get your brothers to come and help for this IKEA bed, could you?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on.
Because, you know, I mean, really, I mean, he's going to be a lawyer. I mean, he really has no skills. And you know, you need someone who, again, who can fix your car, you know, fix your mower.
That's the thing. He seems like he does it all. It's like, you know,
well,
I can't shame him too much. I'm trying.
Put him to the test. But yes, go out of your way to figure that out.
All right.